This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, give us the humility which realizes its ignorance, admits its mistakes, recognizes its need, welcomes advice, accepts rebuke. Save us from pride in our knowledge and make us to think of the great ocean of truth all undiscovered before us. Save us from pride in our achievement and make us to remember all that we still have to do. Save us from pride in our performance and make us to remember how far short of perfection our best must still fall. Help us to study with diligence, learn with eagerness. Give us a retentive memory to remember that which we have learned and a resolute will to put it all into action. Amen. A beautiful prayer, one that I have shared in the past with some of you, especially beautiful when considered that such a prayer about humility was written by William Barclay, one of the greatest scripture scholars of all time, who is still used to this day by most clergy at some point in their sermon preparation, as well as a lot of small groups for the reflection on the scriptures as well. And here is a man who writes a prayer about his nothingness compared to God. Well, it's Valentine's week, so happy Valentine's Day. And we are celebrating the baptism today of John Carpenter IV, a very special occasion for us. So in light of a baptism and in light of Valentine's Day and love and relationships, the only appropriate thing I can think about to talk today is leprosy. We don't choose the readings, guys. They are given to us. But at first glance, we think about leprosy and what does that have possibly to do with anything in our life today. Yet when we look at these stories, there's an incredible amount of wisdom about our own relationships. Not only for husband and wife, but friendship as well, one person to another, but as well our relationship with God. You know, in the Old Testament book of Leviticus, there are two whole chapters that are dedicated to nothing but talking about leprosy. Chapters 13 and 14. This is my Bible, copy of the NRSV. And chapter 13 starts here, all the way down, this page, that page, next page. Over here we get chapter 14. Starts talking about what to do when somebody is supposedly cleansed of leprosy. It goes here, 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 here. Turn the page and all the way down to there. It's a lot of talk about leprosy. Well, I'll save you the exercise of reading all that tediousness to you. But to summarize some of the salient points. Once a person had been declared clean of leprosy, there was an elaborate ritual they had to follow. The first stage, you might want to take notes, involved dipping a live bird, a scarlet string, and some cedar wood and some hyssop in a solution made from running water and the blood of a sacrificial bird. I'm not making this up. You can read it for yourself. Leviticus 14. The victim of leprosy was sprinkled 7 times, and the live bird is released then to go free. Following the first ritual, the one to be cleansed submitted to more shaving, burning of clothes, bathing, and 7 more ritual days of separation before the 8th day, on which a series of very involved sacrifices of both animals and grain began, as if the previous sacrifices weren't very involved. At one stage, the former leper was anointed, and eventually many of the same rituals were performed on the leper's house to cleanse it as well.
They took this stuff seriously. Now, think of all of that. Here we have Naaman, the leader of the Syrian army, this Goliath type of a man, as we understand, both in physical size and strength, as well as in the power that this man had. He was like the commander-in-chief of the Syrian army. And by the way, the name Naaman means pleasing to look at. Isn't that interesting and ironic for someone who is stricken with leprosy? But think of this man. Now, he hears through this slave girl, who from one of their military conquests of the kingdom of northern Israel, they had taken as a slave. This girl becomes a slave of his wife. She hears about this affliction he has, and immediately, being from Israel, well, Elisha the prophet can take care of this. He does miracles all the time. So word gets back to Naaman. He goes to his lord, the king. The king gives him this letter of reference, basically, to the king of Israel, and off they go. Now, understanding what was normally involved in the process of healing a leper and everything that went with that, it is not surprising that Naaman would expect some great, great thing that's going to happen here in terms of a process for him to be healed. But there's a bit more of a problem with Naaman. It's all about him. It's all about the show. This is one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. You know, they should make a Broadway musical, Naaman the Musical. The characters in this story are incredible. So here he gets all the chariots and all his entourage, and off they go to the northern kingdom of Israel. They send somebody up to knock on Elisha's door. They expect Elisha to come out and wave his arms and do all this big show, and poof, Naaman is healed. Well, what does Elisha do? He doesn't even come out. You know, tell him to go down to the Jordan, take a bath 7 times, and this thing will clear up. Well, Naaman is furious. He wants the show. Yet, it ain't going to happen. Because Elisha, in his wisdom, realizes, yes, he needs to be cured of his leprosy, but he needs to be healed of something else that's more serious. And that healing has to do with something I found in a little commercial. If we can run that first clip, give us an idea of what it is. Christian illnesses. My Way or the Highway Itis.
My Way or the Highway Itis is a serious condition that can affect Christians of all ages. My Way or the Highway Itis is an intense stubbornness that causes one to demand everything in their life be done their way only. It is often brought on by elevated levels of self-centeredness in the body. Symptoms of My Way or the Highway Itis include irritability when things don't happen to your exact specifications, the belief that you always know the best thing to do in every situation, never feeling the need to talk to God or ask Him for help with your problems. Treatments include 500 cc's of humility along with a booster shot of faith that should allow the patient to give their life to God and fully rely on Him for their needs, to be followed by a strict regimen of prayer and daily bread. If you know someone that suffers from My Way or the Highway Itis, make sure they get treatment. Their spiritual life depends on it.
And the youth group will have bottles for sale in the parish hall after the service. Were it that easy. This man's full of pride. This man needs the gift of humility. Andrew Murray, who wrote what is the classic book on humility by that name, says that humility is the place of entire dependence on God, the first duty and our highest virtue. It is the root of every virtue. Humility is a tricky thing, you know, because the minute that we get it, then we say how proud we are of our humility, and then we show that we lost it. It's like the guy that was given the pin for being the most humble, but then he started to wear it, so he had to give the pin back. So how do we deal with this? Well, it's a day in and day out thing of consciously surrendering ourselves and our dependence on God, not on us. In the conclusion of his book, after he's treated humility in just about every way possible, and if you've ever get a chance to read the book, you can get it on Amazon. It's not that big a book. If you want to borrow mine, you can. Andrew Murray, Humility. He says this at the end. If you want to put this into practice, he says, take 30 days of your life, just 1 month, and pray this prayer every day. Lord, I pray that of your great goodness you would make known to me and take from my heart every kind and form and degree of pride, whether it be from evil spirits or my own corrupt nature, and that you would awaken in me the deepest depth and truth of the humility that can make me capable of your light and Holy Spirit. Not a bad prayer. To have true humility, to know that it's not about anything we do or buy or earn. You know, in this story, we don't get the end of the story, but there's an important coda to the story in the second book of Kings. All that treasure that he brought along with him, Elisha refuses to take the treasure because he doesn't want to give him any idea that this is something that we buy or earn. It's gift, it's grace. And as a coda to the coda, there is one of Elisha's servants, Gehazi, who gets this idea, well, if he's not going to take the money, I'll take it. So he goes and he traipses after Naaman's entourage and says, making up this story, Elisha's got these prophets he needs to mentor and he needs some resources to help to accomplish that. So give me the money that you had and I'll take that back to Elisha so that Elisha can have it to help with training these people. Obviously, he's keeping it for himself. He takes the money, he comes back. Elisha questions him, where did you go? What did you do? He lies, and guess what happens? Guess what Gehazi is stricken with? The same leprosy that began the story that Naaman had. See, it's all grace, it's all gift. It's all about willing to go on our knees and to say, God, it's all from you. It's all grace. Ironic twist to the story is that Naaman takes 2 mule loads of dirt from Israel because it was believed that you could only worship the god of that country when you were on the soil of that particular god's country. So he's going to worship Yahweh as the true God because he has been healed. And so he is going to kneel on these dirt loads he takes back to his own country, continuing to acknowledge in humility who God is and what God has done and continues to do for him, through him, in him. Great lesson for us. Now, we really don't know what happened to Naaman after this. This was the easy part, huh? The easy part is making the commitment. The hard part is living it out. And that is what Paul talked about in the second reading today in running the race. Today, what we do with John Carpenter IV is the easy part. The baptism is the easy part. But once that decision has been made by us or by those who love us, it's a lifetime we spend trying to live it out. And it's only by continuing to realize a dependence on God that we can. Fast forward to the gospel today. You know, it says when Jesus healed this leper, he was moved with pity. There are some scripture scholars who translate that line differently, and they translate it that Jesus was incredibly angry. Now, why would Jesus be angry? And the possible reasoning is explained as this. When we finished Mark last week, when Reverend Wendy preached on it, if you recall, Jesus said, "Let us get up and go to the other towns around us because I came to preach the good news, so I need to go out to them and to do that." So here's Jesus on his mission. He's going out. He's ready to go. He's got the plan. And immediately this leper shows up, and it's like, well, this wasn't in the agenda for today. Perhaps they suggest that there was some learning that Jesus was going through in terms of my plan might not necessarily be what my Father's plan is and the way this is going to come about. When you think about that, all through his life, Jesus is praying, trying to understand his Father's will, even in the Passion, not my will, but thine be done. So this humility was something that Jesus grew into, as well as Naaman did, as well as we are called to. The most ironic thing here is that what ends up happening because of Jesus healing this leper, who might have been thought of as an obstacle to begin with, Mark tells us that all these people from all over the place started coming to see Jesus. Well, now he's going to fulfill his mission and he doesn't have to go anywhere. They're coming to him. That wouldn't have happened if that obstacle of the leper hadn't taken place. Humility calls us every day to get up and say, "God, I depend on you for every breath." Humility enables us to see that perhaps what we thought were obstacles are God's way of bringing about something even greater. I want to end today with one other point. It's Valentine's week. We celebrate people who are special to us, people who we love. And perhaps it is in this gospel a call to us to remember the incredible importance for us to affirm one another. We all know without reading Leviticus what a debilitating, isolating disease leprosy was. Nobody wanted to come near you. They weren't allowed to. You weren't allowed to come near them. But in this story, what's the first thing that Jesus does? He touches him. He goes outside of what was considered the boundaries. He communicates with this man, not only with his eyes, but with his lips and his heart as well. How much healing there can be in our relationships when we are willing to go beyond and affirm one another. This week we have an excuse to do that. I have a little clip I'd like to show you that takes a humorous look at the ways in which we're called to do that, not necessarily with eloquence, but just with sincerity.
All right, I got it. She's gonna love it. Let's go.
Whoa, how'd you find a card so fast?
I am a speaker of lady language. I hear their voices in my head, much like Beethoven heard music.
No, I think it was just voices.
Either way, I've got a card and you don't.
I'm trying to find one with the right words. I can't find one that really describes how I feel.
Here, this one.
This one. This is the one.
Yeah.
Okay. Sugar is sweet and so is honey. I bought you this card because I had no money.
That is so you.
No, it's not.
Yes, it
no,
is.
No, it's not. It's not me.
What are you trying to say?
I need a card that says, "I don't deserve you. I never have, and I never will. From the moment that I first saw you, I knew that I wanted to be with you, to know you, to understand you. I am humbled that you chose me. I have married out of my league, and there's not a day that goes by that I don't recognize that fact. And I've never taken our vows lightly. What do I say to the mother of my children, my best friend, my soulmate? I love you can just sound so cliche and trite, but it's the only words that I know. I love you. I mean, that would be a card, you know? That would be a card that I'd want to buy. What's the matter? What happened?
Don't look at me.
Okay.
Well, look away.
I have. What's the matter?
It's like I'm a swimming pool, and your words are like cannonballs landing. Pull yourself together, man. Attention, everybody. We are in the presence of a true wordsmith.
No, we're not.
Allow his words to be the wings on which your cards fly.
No.
I want what he's having.
Okay, we need to go. We need to go right now.
I've got an idea. We'll get those cards that are blank on the inside, and we'll write your words on them, and then we'll give them to our ladies. But we have to write in calligraphy.
I'm just going to take your card.
Wait, what was that part about the true soulmates? I need a pen. I gotta write this down. That stuff is gold. That'll give me a whole Sunday of football.
Your words always say more. It's a great opportunity we have. But I know this is a week for people who are in love. It's a special week for people with broken hearts. It's a difficult week. So let me close with this. Do you remember growing up, perhaps you did this. I admit I did it. You found a girl in the class you really liked, but you were too shy to ask her. So you wrote out a little note on a piece of scratch paper. Do you like me? Check one. Yes? No. By the laughter, there's true confessions in this church. And you didn't even have the nerve to give it to her yourself. You gave it to one of your friends to give it to her. And then you just waited with bated breath and sweating as to what box would be checked when it came back. Well, we celebrate a God that no matter how many times we send that note, it comes back absolutely yes. That is the God who heals, who cures. That is the God who goes beyond the boundaries today with the leper to a person most isolated. And he does the same with us. But better than that, he loves us enough to give us the opportunity to do the same with each other. May we be up for that challenge.